Well, good evening. It is good to be together to worship with you this evening. Like Stanley said, I do serve at Lincoln and privileged to have my family here tonight as well. We do have four boys and we're starting to reach that age where the oldest is about to get his license here at the end of the month. And so these times of being all together in one place are getting narrower, that margin's getting narrower. So we are blessed to be here and to worship together. This evening, as an introduction to the message, I would ask a question. The question is, if you could ask for one thing in life, what would that thing be? If you could ask for one thing, what would you ask for? Now, we know this actually happened to someone in Scripture in 1 Kings 3. Soon after Solomon was anointed king, the Lord came to Solomon in a dream, and he asked, "What shall I give thee?" Solomon answered that by listing how he was unqualified to be the king, and so because of that, he asked for an understanding heart. Is that what you would ask for this evening? Well, you think about that, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. So I don't know where your mind is all going. Maybe you are facing something where you feel that you need something specific. Maybe you would say, like Solomon, need more understanding. As Stan talked about in his devotional, maybe you would say you need more thirst. What is that one thing that we would ask for? Well, as I thought about entering the year of 2026 here and the society we live in, the culture we live in, I think what we would probably all agree, one of the things that we could use more of is patience. Waiting is a part of life. I believe all of us have experienced waiting for something. Maybe you ordered something and you're waiting for it to be shipped in, or just experiencing a wait period. My sons have a package ordered and they are currently waiting for that to arrive. They had a date where this was supposed to arrive. The date has come and passed and they are still waiting. And so what do you do in that time of wait? Do we wait patiently or do we wait with frustration? And so for a message this evening, if I had to give it a title, I would title it, Be Patient and Wait on the Lord. So as we think about patience, what exactly is patience? Wikipedia would say that patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. We know in Scripture that patience is a fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians 5. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit, and in Greek, the word is makrothemia. It's a Greek word that's made up of two words, macro meaning long, and themia meaning anger. So literally, it means long to anger, as opposed to oxithemia, which means sudden anger. Now, when I was young, we had black cats. I don't know if anybody remembers black cats or these little fireworks. They're short fuse and they go bang, not extremely loud, but they were fun to play around with. And so it didn't take long from the time that we lit that fuse until the explosion happened and this thing blew up. It exploded. I believe as Christians, too often we have that short fuse where things happen in our lives, where whatever happens, an incident happens in our lives, our fuse gets lit, and it doesn't take us long, and we explode out of being impatient. We explode relatively quickly. I believe that Scripture would teach us, I believe that Jesus modeled, displayed for us that we should have these long fuses, that when circumstances happen, when our fuse gets lit, so to speak, when something happens and our fuse gets lit, that fuse is long and it gives us plenty of time to diffuse the situation before the fireworks go off, before the explosion happens. So be patient and wait on the Lord. I believe that life is composed of waiting periods. Children will wait till they're old enough to be able to ride a bike. They'll wait till they're old enough to go to school. Teenagers will wait until they're old enough to drive a car. Young married people will wait until children come into their home. Maybe middle-aged people wait till children leave their home. But the art of waiting is not learned all at once. The truth is, we don't like to wait. Patience isn't something that we like to practice. Maybe I should speak for myself, but when was the last time that you were waiting on someone or waiting for something and you thought to yourself, wow, this is fun. I can't wait till I can go through this again. It's just not normal for us to, it's just not natural to have patience. Now, I'm not a hunter, but I understand some of these hunters will sit in a tree stand for hours waiting for a deer to come by to shoot at. For myself, I do enjoy some fishing, and it's kind of that same concept. We'll sit on the bank of the pond or along the creek, and we'll wait for hours waiting for that fish to come along and bite our bait. Do we exercise that kind of patience at home as well? Hopefully this evening you were able to wait patiently without blowing the horn as you waited for your wife or your children to come out to get ready to leave to church. My father-in-law fattens pigs, and he has this saying, patience is a virtue, except when raising pigs. And I think all of us could fit something in there. Patience is a virtue unless it gets in the way of something that I am trying to achieve. The thing is, I'm not sure that patience really is a virtue in our society. We don't like to wait. We're not used to waiting. We're the society that invented fast food. Fast food wasn't fast enough, and so we came up with the drive-through idea. Now, recently, one lane isn't fast enough, so we have double drive-through lanes because we want it. We want it now. I ordered it. I want it to go. I just Googled to see what the average wait time is on fast food, and I don't know how accurate the number was, but it was like 5 minutes and 35 seconds from the time that you order till the time you receive your food, which is, in reality, is quick. But I think most of us, as we're sitting in that drive-through lane, would say, just not fast enough. Could go a little bit faster. But we are a group of people that we have microwaves for quick, easy. We do grocery shopping online. We have Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, just so we can get that food that we ordered and get it quickly, get it to our door. We have Amazon Prime, offers shipping in 2 days. And that's not always fast enough. Depending where you live, you might be eligible for, I think it's at Amazon Now, which would be shipping in less than 2 hours. We have express lanes in supermarkets and in highways. We have speed passes at zoos and amusement parks. And these are there to bypass those miserable people just waiting in line because we don't like to wait. I found it interesting. The cost of running a red light in PA with the camera, I think if you get caught running a red light with on camera, if you get a ticket through the mail, running a red light, I think the cost is $100. The average amount of time saved by running a red light is about 50 seconds. So how much is saving a minute going to cost you? We have high-speed internet on our computers, not just our computers at home, but we have it on our phones, our devices, so that no matter where we are, we have access to all information at all times. Right now, you could look up to see if the Eagles are winning or not. I found it interesting that after clicking on something that you chose to click on, so if you're reading something, you want to read something, or you want to watch something, if you click on it and if it buffers, so if you get that spinning wheel while it's waiting to load, if it takes longer than 2 seconds, about 50% of the people are going to back out of that page and go on to another one. If it buffers for 5 seconds, it cuts in half again. Another 50% have left the page. And I think it's after 10 seconds, only about 20% of the people are still going to be there waiting for that page to load. So this was something that you wanted to see, you wanted to read, but 5 seconds is just simply too long. It's time that you'll never get back. Now, I'm going to show my age a little bit, but I don't know if any of you remember the days of dial-up, right? That spinning circle was a fact of life. Now, I'm not saying these things are bad. I take advantage of some of them myself. Time saved is time saved, I think, right? But our society, our culture is telling us that we can think it, we can click it, and we can instantaneously have it. Patience is counterculture. We understand that. And like I said, I'm no different. I don't like to wait on what I consider to be slow service. I don't like to be in long lines anywhere. And I don't like to be driving, following somebody that I think is going too slow. Several years ago, I was taking some classes, and as part of these classes, we had some homework, and so I didn't get my homework finished the evening when I came home, so I was wrapping it up in the morning, and it took a little bit longer than what I was hoping for, and so I was in a hurry. I was running late. I didn't have any margin left in my schedule. And so we have a Honda Odyssey minivan. I jumped in that, hit the garage door button. The garage door is going up. I'm looking in my mirrors, and I think it's up now. So I put it in reverse and crunch. I backed into the garage door. So I got out. I assessed the damage, and it seemed like most of the damage was to the garage door. There was a dent in the garage door. I looked at the minivan, and it doesn't look too bad. So, I got to go. Got places to be, so I get in the vehicle, and I start driving, and things were fine until I started to speed up. I got out on 501 and took off, and I heard something rattle, and so again, I'm looking in my mirrors, and I don't see anything, so, I got places to be, so I go, I get to my destination, and I get out of the vehicle, and I look again, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Honda Odyssey, but they have a taillight on the back, of plastic visor up at the top of the back hatch, and it's completely gone. Can't do anything about it now. So on my way home, I stopped along the road where I heard the rattle, and I'm looking in the fields in the ditch, and it's gone. It's completely missing. And so I needed to replace the back piece there. But that dent in the garage door is a reminder for me, when I see that dent, to slow down, take some time, have some patience. And I would just say, if you're ever following a Honda Odyssey and you see that brake light on top go on, I would say pray for Dale, because he needs patience. You have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel 10, verse 8. Plan to look at two Bible characters this evening, one that was impatient, took matters into his own hands, and one that was patient and waited for God to work. Both of these men were chosen by God. Both of them had stress, had pressure. Both of them faced pressure. Both had promises from God, but their responses to waiting led to very different outcomes. So 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8, Samuel had anointed Saul as king. And then he's here in verse 8, he's giving Saul instructions on what he should do from here. And he says, this is Samuel talking to Saul, "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." So specific instructions for Saul that Samuel gave to Saul. And so now turn back a couple of pages to 1 Samuel 13. We'll pick up reading in verse 5. So Saul is now at Gilgal, and the Philistines are gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore is in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. So this is what Saul is facing. Saul is in Gilgal. Samuel told him he's going to come in 7 days. And so Saul is there waiting for Samuel to come, and the Philistines are gathered together. They're ready to fight. They're ready to go. And Saul is seeing this. And so we'll jump in again, back in again at verse 6. It says, "When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling." So Saul has a predicament. He recognizes that the Philistines could descend on them in battle, and Samuel hasn't shown up yet, and he's waiting for Samuel to come. The pressure is there. The troops are scattered. Some of them are hiding wherever they can. They're terrified. They're in no way to be going to battle here. And Saul has to make a decision. What is he going to do? Is he going to wait for Samuel to get there, or is he going to take matters in his own hands? And so we'll pick up reading again in verse 8. "And he tarried 7 days." This was the amount of time. It says, "According to the set time that Samuel had appointed, these 7 days. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him." And Saul reaches a decision. He says, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. So Saul made a choice. He made a decision that he was not going to wait for Samuel to get there. And he went ahead and offered the offering. Verse 10, "And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over the people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." So Saul took matters into his own hands. He decided that he can't wait on Samuel anymore. And he made a decision based on what he thought was best, because he thought that this timing would be best. And so from this passage, we want to look at a few things that we can learn from this passage. And the first thing that we can learn from is that we need to exercise patience in problems. How do we do when we face problems? It can be difficult to be patient when problems and trials come our way. We want instant solutions to our problems. And because of that, we tend to try and fix the problem as quickly as possible. And too often, in trying to fix a problem quickly, we make bad choices. Saul had a problem. His men were scattered. He was afraid the Philistines were going to attack, but Samuel hadn't come yet. We may not always understand why we face difficulties, but many times there is a purpose for what we are going through. So when we face difficulty, we have the opportunity to sow patience. We have the opportunity to not always look for the easy answer. It seems to me that Saul looked at this situation and the solution was easy, right? The answer to the problem was obvious. I believe he recognized that going into battle without the Lord's blessing was not a good idea. So because of that, he took matters into his own hands and offered the offering. Seems like the easy thing to do was to try and make it happen on his own. Then in verse 10, where we looked at when Samuel did arrive, and in verse 11, when Samuel said to Saul, what have you done? We see Saul offering a bunch of excuses. Well, I was expecting you to come sooner. I didn't want to do this. I forced myself to do this because I didn't have a choice because you weren't here and I couldn't wait anymore. Really, it's your fault that you weren't here. And so I had to do this. Saul lost patience with Samuel. He thought he wasn't going to come, which brings us to the next thing that we can learn from this passage is to exercise patience with people. Saul lost patience with Samuel. What do we do? What about us? Do we lose patience in others? My mind went to Peter. Peter, we know the Apostle Peter was impulsive. Peter had his times of being fearful. He was inconsistent. And yet Jesus didn't replace him. The disciples as a whole were pretty slow to recognize what Jesus' mission was, what his purpose was. But Jesus patiently kept correcting them. He patiently restored them and continued to teach them. I believe that Jesus saw Peter not for who he was, but for who he would become. Patience sees potential, not just problems. As we exercise patience with people, what if we took 5 minutes to slow down and appreciate the people, the interactions that we have around us? What if we took time to slow down and to notice what people are going through? What if we took the time to interact with them? When we choose to be patient with people we meet, we open a door to be able to walk into their lives and show them that we are different because we have God in us. Now, I recognize that people can be unreasonable at times. My experience most times is if somebody is being unreasonable, it's because there's something going on in their lives that is a difficult thing going on in their lives. I do landscaping as an occupation, and we did a mulching job here a while back, and the lady was just being unreasonable, I felt, in what she was doing. And at the end of the job, she apologized. She said I think she had just lost her mother, and she was going through a difficult time. And, you know, just by being patient, by not exploding, it opens a door for us to be able to talk to people and understand a little bit what they are going through. Verse 14, Samuel told Saul, "Because of your impatience and what you have done, your kingdom will not continue." God had already chosen somebody to replace Saul. When we get impatient, we make mistakes. Some of them can be very costly. Impatience is often rooted in fear. It's fear of losing people or fear of losing control, fear of things not working out like we had intended them to. Verse 13, backing up a little bit, God was ready to establish Saul's family as king over Israel forever. It was what God was ready to give Saul. And we know from scripture that Saul spent the rest of his life chasing after what God was ready to had what God had already given him, but was taken away because he lost patience and acted in disobedience. We know that Saul ended up taking his own life after being wounded in battle. It's a sad end to a man that had started out with so much potential, but because of disobedience, because he could not wait on the Lord, he saw his life take a drastic turn. It's easy to look on this story and think, well, was it really that big of a deal? Was it actually that big of a thing? But I believe God was always careful to separate separate kingship from priesthood. I think if I have it right, I think there are only two people mentioned in Scripture that are said to be both priest and king at the same time, and that is Melchizedek and Jesus. I believe Melchizedek was called the King of Salem and the priest of the God Most High. And of course, we know Jesus is our great high priest, and he is also proclaimed as king whose reign will never end. So Saul, in making the burnt offering for himself, was using power and responsibilities of the priesthood, and in God's eyes, this was inexcusable. I tend to look at Saul and think that he probably thought that he was doing a good thing, right? Like he's helping God out. He's making sure this gets done and helping God out. And it was a challenge for me. How often do I help God out? Because I'm impatiently waiting on him. And so I move ahead instead of just waiting patiently. All right, moving on, we'll look at another man in Scripture. This man is not a king, but a slave. He's not surrounded by power, but he's surrounded by betrayal. And yet his patience leads to promotion. This is the life of Joseph. His life, at least after he was sold into slavery, has patience stamped all over it. In Genesis 37, you can turn to Genesis 39. But in Genesis 37, Joseph had the dreams of the sheaves and the stars bowing down to him. And it seems to me that his family also understood that someday they would bow down to him. I'm pretty sure that Joseph didn't expect that his path to this position would include being sold by his brothers, that it would include being falsely accused and put in prison and being forgotten while in prison. But what I would like to focus on here is how Joseph waited on the Lord. In Genesis 39, verse 21, this would have been after he was put in prison. It says in verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper." What we can learn from the life of Joseph is that waiting is not being passive. Waiting is not being inactive. It's not sitting around being idle. Waiting is a time to develop skills for later. Joseph, even though he was in prison, was using his God-given talent to be a leader, to be an overseer. Joseph could have been wondering, he could have been worrying about his situation, but he chose to trust God rather than to panic. I believe that Joseph understood that delay is not the same as denial. Joseph had the dreams of the people bowing down to him, but now he found himself in prison, and I'm sure that was not what he would have expected when he had those dreams. His dream didn't show him the hatred from his brothers. It didn't show him the pit. It didn't show him being sold and being a slave in Egypt. It didn't show him being falsely accused, to being in prison. But I believe that he understood that God will always keep his promise. He didn't focus on what he couldn't do, but what God can do. And when he went before Pharaoh to interpret Pharaoh's dream, he said, "I can't interpret your dream, but my God can." He didn't promote himself. He didn't try to turn this into an opportunity to find his way out of prison, but he practiced patience in his life. And he received all that God promised him. If I were Joseph, it would seem like every time that the dream was about to be fulfilled, something went wrong. He found favor with his father because his dad could trust him, and then he was sold by his brothers. He found favor with Potiphar, who turned the whole house over to him. And if I were Joseph, I would be thinking that maybe now my dream is coming true. But he was falsely accused and put in prison. The head jailer turned everything over to Joseph. He interpreted two dreams while in prison, but he was forgotten. By now, if I were Joseph, I think I would be running out of patience. Nothing seems to be going right. He had every reason to lose patience. He had every reason to doubt that his dream would ever be fulfilled. But he didn't take matters into his own hands. He continued to wait patiently on the Lord. And we know how the story played out, how everything happened just according to God's plan. Joseph couldn't see it, but he patiently waited on God's timing. I thought about again, showing my age a little bit, of cameras. When I was younger, we used to have the a camera that you'd take the picture and then it would develop while you waited for it. And, you know, in those days with that film, you couldn't rush the process. Like the film needed to go through what it needed to go through for the picture to form. If you tried to rush it, you ended up ruining the picture. The image needed time in the dark to become clear. In our lives, I believe that we go through dark times as well. We go through dark times of trials when it feels like maybe God has forgotten us, when we don't understand, we can't see. But God sees the big picture. God is moving pieces around that we can't see. Sometimes we complain to God, but the fact is that God knows and God sees. And as he did with Joseph, he is working out a plan. Sometimes that plan requires for us to be patient. I think about Martha when Lazarus died as well. In John 11, verse 6, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So Jesus got the news and he waited. In John 11, 21, when Jesus got there, Martha said unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." In other words, Martha was saying, "Jesus, you're late. Why didn't you come right away?" Was Jesus late, or was it his plan? Sometimes we fail to wait on God. We are people that long for peace, for contentment, for fulfillment, for love, acceptance. And sometimes we look for these in the wrong place, trying to fill a void in our hearts with something, anything, instead of waiting for God to fill it. But as we notice with Saul, disobedience only brings pain. Be patient and wait, because Jesus is the source that is able to do more, abundantly more, than we can think or imagine. This evening, it's easy to sit here and to point out strength and flaws in these two Bible characters. We can look at how Saul acted out in fear and how Joseph acted out in faith. We can look at how Saul forced God's timing while Joseph trusted God's process. We can look at how Saul lost a kingdom and how Joseph gained influence. We can look how Saul was impatient and how Joseph was faithful in being patient. But when we're in these positions, when we're the ones being tested, it tends to look a whole lot different. I would imagine that some of us here this evening are in a time of waiting for direction, waiting for healing, waiting for a breakthrough, waiting for answers. The temptation for us while we wait is to do what Saul did, to take control, to force outcomes, to make emotional decisions. But God is calling us to respond like Joseph, to trust his timing, to remain faithful, and to guard our character. I know from experience, it's difficult when you're in a place that requires patience. Patience isn't something that usually just flows out. Waiting isn't easy. So this evening, if we're in a period of waiting on God, let me encourage you with this. The wait is the test. God is using this time to test our faith, to test our endurance and our character. God is preparing us for a blessing. James 1:3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Anything that has value requires a process, and a process requires patience. I don't know if there are any basketball fans here. Also showing what I enjoy, and that's sports. We have four boys in our family, and we get together around sports. And so I don't know if any of you are basketball fans. I assume there's probably a few here. I don't know if you remember several years ago, the Philadelphia 76ers were a bad basketball team. I think it was their general manager, the guy that gets the players together for the team. He came up with a slogan, and his slogan for the team was, or his slogan for the fans maybe, was trust the process. What he was saying is that we are going to be a bad team for a while, but we are going to be building for the future. We're going to store up some young talent that we think we're going to be able to compete in the future. Right now, we're going to be bad, but trust the process. We're going to be good eventually. In other words, turning this team into a winning team is going to be a process, and a process that requires patience. 5 practical habits that will grow your patience. Number 1 is pursue God, even when it seems like you've been waiting forever. It's easy to become angry, to become bitter as we wait patiently, but choose to worship Him despite our circumstances. Believe God is good despite what you see. Choose to run to God no matter what is happening or how long it is taking for Him to answer. The second thing we can do is serve others. Just as a waiter waits on others in serving food, God may be calling us to wait on His people. Remember that God gives us simple tasks to prepare us for something bigger later. Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." The third thing we can do is trust God's plan. Waiting on God can tend to be a mind game. It's finding a confident peace in our mind with a humble heart, knowing that we are not in control and being okay with that. Memorize verses of trust in God and keep repeating those words over and over. It reminds us to trust God even while we wait. Choose to place our hope in God no matter what. Micah 7:7 says, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." The fourth thing we can do is be grateful. Be grateful for what God has already given us. Many times we can become hyper-focused on one thing in front of us, and we forget to look around and to see what else God is doing, what He has already done in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And then the fifth thing we can do is keep on believing. You know, Satan likes to whisper negative things into our ears, like God has forgotten you, God doesn't care about your problems, God doesn't love you, just give up. You know, it's a lie. It's not the truth. Trust that God is working behind the scenes, even if you can't see it. 2 Timothy 3:14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." In closing this evening, do those closest to you see you as a patient person? What would your children say? What would your family say? Sometimes our children have a way of stepping on that last nerve. The very child that we prayed for, the one that we waited for, has a way of just getting to us. And we find ourselves losing patience because they just don't get it. The story of a young dad was pushing his son in a stroller, pushing him down the street. This youngster was crying in rage. And this man is talking. He's, "Please, Bernard, control yourself. Easy there, Bernard. Keep calm. Everything will be all right," the father kept saying quietly. "Congratulations, sir," said a woman who had been watching. You know just how to speak to a child, calmly, gently, and with great patience." Then she added, "Did you name your little Bernard after a family member? I really like that name." "Ma'am," the father said, "my son's name is Jeffrey. I'm Bernard." We've been there, right? We got that. And when we're in those moments, we can ask God for patience. The thing is, patience is not a feeling. It's a choice. God doesn't give you patience, but He will give you the opportunity to choose to be patient. Patience is not a prayer. It's a process. The only thing harder than waiting on God is wishing that we had. Jesus waited 30 years for 3 years of ministry for 3 hours of purpose. God is patient with you. We cannot we will not be perfect overnight, but let's take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to grow in patience. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, this evening we're grateful to be together and to look into your word and to learn from you. Lord, I pray that you would give us patience as we go through our lives. Lord, you know what we are dealing with. You know what we are faced with. God, I just pray that you would give us opportunities to be patient and to be a patient people. Lord, I pray for the group here at Word of Life. Lord, I pray a blessing on their lives. I pray that the people that they come in contact with, Lord, I just pray that they would be able to shine a testimony for you with the people that they meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.